He is risen. I say he is risen, and you get to say he is risen indeed. Come on. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen. Okay, turn to each other. Punch each other in the arm this time. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? John chapter 20. If you'll turn there. John chapter 20. Now, if you don't have a Bible, no problem. It'll be up here on the screen. If you have your Bible with you, or it's on your phone or your tablet or whatever, I'd love you to see it on your own device or in your own book, your own Bible, and mark it there. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, by the way, Mary Magdalene was the first one to go to the tomb early. And it said, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, what?
Early.
Come on, church, what was it?
Early.
While it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, if you really understand what was happening here, this was a massive stone, probably weighed a couple of tons. And so these girls, these ladies, and other texts, not girls, these women who had followed Jesus, helped care for his needs, and in this case, Mary Magdalene, they go to the tomb, and they don't realize that there's this massive stone. They don't know who's going to pull it away or take it away, because they want to prepare his body for burial even further than it's been done. Verse 2, then she ran. She saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, and she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, so they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter. That's not in this shot yet. They outran Peter, and they came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he, meaning John, did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. And he saw and what?
Believed.
He saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. What do you think they were feeling? Confused, dejected, hopeless. How many know and thank God Jesus is here for the hopeless? Here with help for the hopeless. Though he said he had arisen, no one that morning expected to find an empty tomb. Nobody. But Mary Magdalene comes first to the tomb. She'd been delivered by Jesus from demons. By the way, there is nowhere in the Bible that says she was a prostitute. That is often and commonly said about her. She was not a prostitute. She was delivered by the good news of Jesus, who reached out with the power of the Holy Spirit and set her free. How many are glad to be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit? She loves this one who set her free. She's first to the tomb, and it's still dark, and it's still early, and she loves him, but she can't find him. So she runs back to talk to the disciples, and they run back. How many know there's not a thing going on here that's casual? Not a thing that's casual. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? If I were going to say it correct Englishly, I would say, for whom are you looking? But today, we just said, who are you looking for? We could add the word dude or dudette. John 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. How many know that Mary Magdalene was one of the last at the cross? And she was the first at the tomb on this morning. As she wept, She stooped down and looked into the tomb. And what did she see? Verse 12, she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because," and listen to the pathos, the emotion, the depth, the hunger, the love for her Lord who had set her free. "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Say the next phrase with me. "Whom are you seeking?" When you came to church here this morning, whom are you seeking? Who are you looking for? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir," I just love this. "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." One of the things I'm here to tell you this morning is Jesus knows who you are exactly. And he knows you by name. He knows you. He sees you. You're not lost before the Lord. You're not hidden from him. He loves you. And he spoke the name, Mary. And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." And that word cling in the Greek literally means, don't try to hold on to me permanently. I'm shifting. This is something different now. "But I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them," now watch, "go to my," what? "Brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and," what? "Your Father. To my God and," what? "Your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. When all you see is your broken heart, Jesus sees your tears. But sometimes when we are weeping over the condition of our present circumstance, we can't see him as clearly as we should. Come on, isn't it true? We can't always see Jesus the way we should. But church, we serve a risen Savior. Someone say amen. Amen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. One more time. He is risen. Amen. She wants to hold on. He says, don't cling to me. Now, Mary's here with gratitude, and she's delivered by Jesus. She's freed. She wants to be with him. She wants to keep following him. By the way, this is one powerful woman of courage. You know that, don't you? It wasn't the other disciple guys who were there first at the tomb. It was Mary Magdalene. It was Mary Magdalene, one of the last ones at the cross, when others could have turned and inflicted the same kind of punishment on the followers of Jesus. She stood at the cross with the other women as they watched with their hearts broken about what was going on. And her love and her delight and her joy in being forgiven drives her to a tomb to help see what's happened to her Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews there's a heavenly tabernacle that is what the earthly tabernacle in the Old Testament was a picture of. And Jesus, as the final Lamb of God, the final sacrifice, the complete sacrifice, shed his blood so you don't have to and I don't have to. Anybody glad? Yes. We don't have to shed our own blood. And Jesus did it. And he presented the blood to the Father. And God said, it's enough. It's done. It's time to rise. Come on, it's done. It's time to rise. Mary, who are you looking for? She's looking for Jesus. But she was kind of looking for the one she'd gotten used to. But Jesus said, I want you to get used to finding resurrection life. And when you come to church this morning and every Sunday morning, who did you come looking for? Did you come looking for Jesus, who's got a brand new phase of resurrection life to give you? He wants to change your mind, your heart, mine as well. And he wants to change us in this gathering together. Who did you come looking for? Lord, I came here this morning looking for the resurrected Jesus. I want him to change my life forever. Oh God, do what only you can do this morning. Come on, anybody else besides me? Does that burn in your heart this morning? Did you go to Jesus and come to church out of tradition this morning? That's a good thing. But Jesus has something more. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Something more than tradition. Something more than I just go on Easter. I go on Easter and every other Sunday because he's alive.
Yes.
And he's got resurrection life to give us. He says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send my spirit to you. To teach, give you peace, give you life, give you strength, give you comfort. To be with you and give you new power to reach the world. Mary, I'm new now. I'm your resurrected Lord. See beyond your tears to see me. Resurrected Jesus. Jesus calls his disciples now from the resurrection. By the way, he'd called them friends before, remember?
Yeah.
Now he says, you're my brothers.
Yeah.
Now he says, I'm going to go to your God, or my God and your God, my Father and your Father. We're family. Go tell him I've risen, I'm alive. He honored her love and her hunger to see him. And I want to bring the question home to you and to me. Who'd you come looking for today? Jesus, open our eyes to see you as the resurrected Lord for our own life. And Jesus wants you to know specifically, if your heart is hurting, he is here for the brokenhearted. Number two. What'd you say? You ever say that to each other? Somebody says something, your spouse says something, you go. Or somebody down the block who's giving you a bad time, and you look at them and you go, what did you say? He's here for the hopeless. He's here for the brokenhearted. And he's here for the hopeless. Listen to the word of God in Luke 4, verse 18. If you're taking notes, write down. I don't have it up here. Write down Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And take a look at it. What Jesus came to do. He said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to bring deliverance to captives. I came to recover the sight of the blind. And I came to set at liberty those that are bruised. Literally in the Greek, those words mean I came for the crushed, the shattered, the prisoners of war. Sometimes we're prisoners of our own captivity. But nevertheless, he said, I came to open the prison doors and get you out and set you free. Those who can't see, those who are literally crushed in their spirits, I came for you, Jesus says. Two disciples are on the road to Emmaus. Interesting, by the way. Listen to the word. They are walking, it's important, away from the other disciples in Jerusalem. Walking, I said, what? Away. Luke 24, 15 through 17. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they didn't know him. And he said to them, what did you say? What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Now, I understand, I'm sure you do. Do you ever have a favorite class when you're in school? And you really wanted to pay, everybody, I'm getting blank looks. Not me, never had one of those. Yeah, okay, what was your favorite class, Pastor Sherry? Recess. Had to be taught how to have more fun at recess, I'm sure. Loosen up, Pastor Sherry, it's recess. I'm sure they had to say that to you. But you know, sometimes when you're really engaged and you really want to hear what they're saying, you know how, what's your body position? What is it? What was that? You lean in, right? You can tell a person who's not too hungry. Watch that. Leaning in. But this one, he says, it's not necessarily a faith position here. By the way, I'm sure you know life happens. Yeah. Disappointments happen. Sometimes life doesn't go like you and I want. Anybody honest with me in the room? Sometimes, if we're honest, life's the pit. Don't walk away from Jesus when it's like that. Don't walk away from Jesus in your heart or in your mind or from the family of God. They were walking away. They reasoned, the Bible says. Literally in the Greek, it means they disputed. They discussed. Things didn't go as we planned. I'm disappointed. I'm bugged at God. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. Why'd we go through all of this? They're hopeless. But what's really cool is Jesus comes walking right up. He hears you. I said, he hears you. When you were at home yesterday, last night, this morning, and you didn't have your Sunday best on, he hears you. He hears you. And he walks up. And he walks up and he looks and he goes, excuse me? What did you say? What are you guys talking about? You're down as you're walking away. The Greek word, the word there is sad. Why are you, as you walk, you are sad? Do you know what that means in the Greek? Listen to this, you guys, and we have all been there. You are sullen, an angry visaged, gloomy, affecting a mournful appearance of sad countenance. You can write up here, you become a spiritual Eeyore. Eeyore. What's your countenance? Do you know the Bible says out of the heart the mouth speaks? Out of the heart the face shines or doesn't. When you're hopeless, angry, and confused, your countenance tells the story of your heart. They talked to Jesus about what happened. And by the way, it's kind of cool. It's kind of like us. They told Jesus everything he'd gone through. Don't you know what happened these last few days around here? Jesus probably could have looked at him and go, yeah, I think so. But he doesn't chide them. He lets them share their hearts. Sometimes we get angry like he doesn't know what's wrong. But he wants to walk with us and talk with us and tell us we're his own. Jesus confronts them. Do see that in the scripture. Sometimes, come on, church, he takes a firm approach with us. Where you feel like, just like Pastor Sherry was sharing in her opening. Sometimes we say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and in our heart of hearts it goes, oops. Shouldn't have done that. That's the gift of God when the Spirit of God convicts us. But I want to tell you something, church. Stop your heart, your mind, and your steps from walking away from Jesus and his disciples and his family. Stop your tongue from going wrong. Luke 24, 25 and 26. And he said to them, O foolish ones. Now, we still don't see a Lord that tackled them and laid them on the ground on face down. But he says, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. And doesn't that identify it? Sometimes we're slow to believe. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Basically, don't you guys get it? God's got it all under control. Come on, say it with me. God has got it all under control. Turn to each other and say, He's got it under control better than you and me. If you want Jesus to be glorified out of the circumstance, hang on and trust Him. He's walking with you. He sees you. He hears you. And He might even look at you and go, "What's that you said? What did you say?" But interesting, watch. They invited Him to hang out some more. They had to show some hunger in their own heart. Because they're walking along and He's going on down the road. And the Bible says they literally, in the Greek, they implored Him. They constrained Him. No. Come on. Hang out with us. Have you ever had like prayer times like that? Come on, Jesus, hang out with me here. Luke 24, 28 and 29, they drew near to the village where they were going and indicated He would have gone further, but they constrained Him and saying, "Abide with us. It's toward evening. The day's far spent. We love hanging out with you, Lord." Only they didn't know He was the Lord yet. The Bible in the Greek, literally it means they forced Him. They compelled Him by entreating Him. And as they broke bread, remember what happened? Their eyes opened. As they communed with Him. And then you know what happened? Their hearts, they look at each other and go, "Man, oh man, didn't your heart burn within you as He talked about the Scriptures with us?" You can just imagine these guys running back. What'd they do? What was their first action? They ran back to the disciples they were going to leave. They got hopeless. They thought, "I'm going to go suck on a stick where the ice cream bar's already gone." But now Jesus came and showed up. And they're going back home. And I love it. You can almost, can't you imagine? You know, they're running down the road. "Man, can you believe what He did?" And one probably turned to the other and said, "I knew it was Jesus sooner than you did. I'll bet you." The other one goes, "Oh, no, you didn't." But didn't our hearts burn inside as He talked about the Word? Man, He's real. He's alive. He shows up at the times when I think He doesn't even see. And He stops me in my spirit and says, "What was that, Kev?" He turns things positive if you give Him the time for the hopeless. Number three, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? The Scripture says, Luke 24, verse 38 and 44 through 45, He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why did doubts arise in your heart?" And He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, the Psalms concerning me." And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. I pray that's what you experience as we gather together in worship, that God gives us a greater comprehension of the Scriptures and we see He's here. He's here. Come on, church. He's here. He's risen. He's risen indeed. He's here. Two or more gathered with a heart full of faith without an Eeyore countenance and down perspective. And we gather, we say, "Hey man, He's here. He's here. And all right, maybe that wasn't the song that was my favorite. I'll jump into the others. But even though it doesn't matter, He's here and He's got something to say to me and you. I don't want to miss it. I want to be with Jesus and celebrate Him with you. I kind of like hanging out with you in the Lord and seeing Jesus in you." Nobody said they liked seeing Jesus in me. Okay, I'll go on. That's reciprocal. Oh, there you go. There you go. He says, "Why are you agitated in your heart? Why do you debate?" That's the Greek. Why are you debating in your heart? Don't you get it? God's in control. He went through all of this to forgive us of our sins, to wash us clean by the blood He shed on Calvary. Just ask Him. If you've sinned, Repent. What does it mean? Agree with him. Turn around and go the other way. Forgive me, Lord, I agree. I was wrong. Wash me clean by the blood you shed on that cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He said, Father, forgive him. He sees you right now here today. Luke 24:46-48. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. You're witnesses. Now it's time to go give me away. Guys, now, men and women, you understand, I'm here for the brokenhearted. I'm here for the hopeless. And I've risen again. And there's no sin bigger than my ability to forgive. And there's nothing that can shame you away from me. And the devil has to shut up when he tries to condemn you. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And today, the word of your testimony is, I agree, he's risen from the dead. Sin, get out. In Jesus' name. Devil, get out in Jesus' name. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. The stone is rolled away. Come on, I said the stone is rolled away. An earthquake happens, graves are open, some were resurrected. Jesus shows himself to Mary, and Jesus shows himself to Peter, and then the 10, then the 11, to 500, and then he shows himself to Paul, and now he's showing himself to you and to me right here today, thank God.
Amen.
He opens their eyes, and he sends them on a mission to go share him with the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem then with great joy. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God, amen. And the fearful became the joyful, the hopeless, the heartbroken now worshiped him. And gave him away one of the best proof of the resurrection. And there are so many things we could talk about. One of the best proofs is the literal change that took place in the lives of fearful, hopeless, heartbroken people as they went out to share Jesus, the risen Savior, with the world. Matthew 28, go therefore. He gives us this instruction. 53% just was a study that was just done. 53% of Christians who attend church do not know that there was anything called the Great Commission. And Jesus sends us to the world. So you can't say if you didn't know before, you can't say when you leave here today, you don't know. Because his Great Commission is, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, now guys, I want you to go, guys, men, women, wait until you be endued with power from on high. Go to Jerusalem, wait on me, and I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Church, Jesus is alive. I said one more time, Jesus is alive. Do you know that every other religion on the face of the planet honors their founder who has died? Only Christianity honors their founder who is still alive. Who's still alive. Jesus rose from the dead. I said Jesus rose from the dead. I said Jesus rose from the dead. I said he rose from the dead. He is risen. I ask you again, who are you looking for? The risen Jesus. I'm looking for the risen Jesus, church. Go. Tell the world. He is risen. Would you stand with me? Musicians, will you come? We're going to go back to the song that we began our service with this morning in our song service. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He is risen and he is worthy of our praise. I pray that what you celebrate today is a fantastic Resurrection Sunday and Easter, a wonderful time with your family this afternoon and friends. But above all, no matter what you're doing, remember, he's alive and he's here for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just a sec. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord, church.